In a previous video, I said that there were demons in purgatory as revealed by Saint Faustina Kowalska, and several people took issue to this, stating that Doctor of the Church Saint Thomas Aquinas stated that there are not, in fact, demons in purgatory because we have already conquered them on earth. And so I did some further research, and I found another Doctor of the Church that had a revelation from God the Father that definitively states whether or not there are demons in purgatory. And it turns out that I was wrong. And so I want to share who this doctor of the church is, because she's amazing. She's one of my favorites. She's an incredible purgatory mystic, and it's incredible what she's going to tell us. So I'm going to share with you what Jesus reveals to her about purgatory, what she says about purgatory, different times when she delivers souls from purgatory, and then finally the statement she receives from God the Father and how we can respond accordingly. Let's get right into it. Now, this doctor of the church is none other than Saint Catherine of Siena. Let's hear what she has to say. This is what Jesus tells her. And if you turn to purgatory, you will find my sweet and priceless providence towards those little wretched souls that foolishly wasted time, and being now separated from the body, they do not have any more time to be able to merit. For them, I have provided by way of you who are still in the mortal life, and have time for them, and by means of almsgiving and the divine office that you have said by my ministers, together with fasting and orations done in a state of grace, you are able to shorten for them the time of penalty, trusting in my mercy. Oh, sweet providence. Jesus telling her what we need to know. They don't have any time anymore. They wasted time. We do, and we should pray for them. Now let's listen to what she says about purgatory. I also saw the torments of the damned and the souls in purgatory, but there are no words that can adequately describe these. If poor mortals had a glimpse of the least of these torments, they would undoubtedly prefer to die 10 times over rather than to have to bear such a thing for one day. I was specially struck by the punishment meted out to those who sin in the married state, who do not respect their vows as they should and seek to satisfy their lust. This is a warning for many of us. I asked then her why this sin, which is no more serious than any other, should be punished so severely. And she replied, because the people concerned don't regard it as important and consequently are not sorry for it as they are for the others. And so they succumb to it more readily and frequently. And she added, this fault is all too dangerous, however trivial it may seem, because no one who commits it bothers to get remission of it through repentance. Now, what she's saying here, so she's revealing what she sees in purgatory and hell as well. She's saying that just because we're married doesn't mean that we can indulge all of our lusts. We still need to be chaste in the way that we engage in sexual activity, and we need to do it in a godly way. There's a lot to unpack here. I'm not going to. This is probably material for a future video. Let me know if you want me to talk about it later on in the comments below. Now, these are two instances where she delivers people from purgatory, so she see how much of a purgatory mystic she really is. Now, there was a woman named Bonaventura that was constantly trying to keep St. Catherine of Siena from doing what God wanted her to do. And here, reader, know how hateful and displeasing to God are people who do anything to interfere with those who desire to serve him. Warning to us. Bonaventura was in herself a perfectly good woman from every point of view, but because she had tried to draw one who wished to serve him towards the world, God came down heavily upon her and punished her with death. She obtained mercy, however, for as was subsequently revealed to the Virgin, after finding herself in purgatory and after undergoing severe punishment, she ascended to heaven as a result of her sister's prayers. This the latter told me in confidence. So she tried to keep Saint Catherine of Siena from doing God's will in various ways, trying to make her more worldly. God punished her with death, and Saint Catherine of Siena, through her incredible prayers, delivered her very quickly. Incredible mercy. Now, the last story of her delivering someone from purgatory is incredible. Is for her delivering her father. You got to listen to it. Her father's name, by the way, was Giacomo, and he was a holy man. Time passed, and Giacomo's end drew near. He was taken ill and confined to bed. As soon as Catherine learned of this, she at once had recourse to her accustomed prayer and turned to her heavenly bridegroom, pleading for her father to be cured. But she was told that Giacomo's time had come and that it was better that he go. Catherine then ran to her father's bedside and hastily reassured herself of the state of his soul, finding him resigned to die and not avid for this life. For this she thanked the Savior with all her heart, but still not satisfied, she concentrated in spirit again and begged the Lord, the fountain of all graces, that as he had allowed Giacomo to pass through this life without sin, so he would allow him to ascend to heaven without having to go through purgatory. But she was told that in some way at least justice had to be maintained, it being impossible for a soul incompletely purged to enjoy the benefit of so much glory. The Lord said to her, although your father has lived an utterly blameless life as head of the family, they had 25 kids, by the way, and has always shown the utmost respect for me, especially insofar as you are concerned. Nevertheless, it would be against justice if his soul were not to pass through the fire. He has collected too much mud, and his soul has become stony with worldly concerns. Catherine said, my most beloved Lord, how can I possibly bear to think that the soul of the one who brought me into the world and fed me and brought me up with such love and never in his life showed me anything but love should be made to burn in that terrible fire? By all your goodness, I beg and implore you not to let his soul issue from his body until you have purified it in some way or other without making it pass through the flames of purgatory. Marvelously, the Lord God in a way accepted these human words and wishes, for Giacomo lost his bodily faculties, but his soul did not depart until the end of this pious and holy conversation, which went on for a long time, and the Lord emphasizing the importance of justice and the Virgin asking for grace. Finally, after persisting for a long time, the Virgin said, if grace is not to be had without justice being preserved by some means or other, let justice be done on me, for I am prepared to suffer for my father's sake whatever penalty may be decided upon by your goodness. The Lord took her at her word and said, very well then. For the love you bear me, I accede to your request and will release to your father's soul from all punishment. But as long as you live, you will have to bear the tribulations I send you in his stead. Whereupon Catherine, full of joy, replied, Lord, I accept your word. May it happen as you have ordained. Thereupon she went to her dying father's bedside to comfort him and filled him with joy by telling him that the Lord had guaranteed his salvation, and she did not leave his side until she had seen him breathe his last. And at the very moment when Giacomo's soul issued from his body, the Virgin felt herself afflicted by a pain in the side, which she carried with her for the rest of her life. She died at 33, by the way. There was never a moment when she did not feel it, as she herself and her companions told me on innumerable occasions, and as I and others were with her could indeed see for ourselves. But Catherine's patience did not give in to the pain, as we shall see shortly. On the contrary, it triumphed over it. Wow. Now, that is amazing love for a father, and fathers, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a daughter like that? Wow. Okay. Now for the incredible conclusion, what God the Father reveals to her in the dialogue. So she's a doctor of the church. This is her significant work. Now, I was reading from her biography by her spiritual director, both of these books. This one's hard to read, but amazing. That one's easier to read and incredible. He talks about all of her life, all of her miracles. And at the end of every chapter, he talks about the people you can talk to verify all the things that he just said. Of course, they all died because she lived in the 1300s. But without further ado, let's hear what God the Father says about whether or not there are demons in purgatory. Okay, this is a little bit long, but I'll be explaining it as we go. How even the devils render glory and praise to God. Sinners such as those of whom I have just spoken are placed in this life in order to augment virtues in my servants, as the devils are in hell, as my justiciars and augmenters of my glory. So he uses sinful people and demons to increase our virtue. That is, my instruments of justice towards the damned and the augmenters of my glory and my creatures who are wayfarers and pilgrims on their journey to reach me, their end. They augment in them the virtues in diverse ways, exercising them with many temptations and vexations, causing them to injure one another and take one another's property, and not for the motive of making them receive injury or be deprived of their property, but only to deprive them of charity. But in thinking to deprive my servants, they fortify them. So sinners and demons fortify us when they attack us, proving in them the virtues of patience, fortitude, and perseverance. Thus they render praise and glory to my name, and my truth is fulfilled in them, which truth created them for the praise and glory of me, Eternal Father, and that they might participate in my beauty. But rebelling against me, In their pride, the demons, they fell and lost their vision of me. Wherefore they rendered not to me glory through the affection of love, and I, eternal truth, have placed them as instruments to exercise my servants in virtue in this life, and as justiciars to those who go for their sins to the pains of purgatory. So thou seest that my truth is fulfilled in them, that is, they render me glory, not as citizens of life eternal, of which they are deprived by their sins, but as my justiciars, manifesting justice upon the damned and upon those in purgatory. So I was wrong. See, I was 99% certain that there were demons in purgatory, and I was dead wrong. I'm 100% now certain. I should have been 100% certain. There are, in fact, demons in purgatory, stated by God the Father, boom, to Doctor of the Church, St. Catherine of Siena. I'm sorry, but she trumps St. Thomas Aquinas in this case. And God the Father uses demons in purgatory just as he uses them in hell and just as he uses them on earth to prove virtue in people to those that are saved and as instruments of his justice. Amen. That's it. Now, in light, why do we need to know this? We need to know this as a warning that you cannot just live your life and then say, well, I'm going to repent at the end and be worthy of hell, but trust on God's mercy, because you may not be damned, but you're going to go to a place in purgatory where there are demons that God is using to implore, to impart his justice on you. And you will have to be basically in like a type of hell for a long time. It's going to feel like years, if not centuries. So as a warning for us to who repent at the very end and say, oh, well, I'll just go to the lowest parts of purgatory. Bad idea. You're going to face demons. And then the other thing is that we need to pray for those in the lowest parts in purgatory. In another video, and this was a vision that a friend of mine had, he's not a saint, etc., but his vision makes complete sense that if we are to pray for those in the lowest parts of purgatory, which we should attempt to deliver them from this terrible suffering, that we must do it with incredible humility, imploring the saint of humility, Saint Joseph, none other than Saint Joseph, that if we are even to pray for these souls in purgatory, if it's even possible, we have to ask for God's grace to do so and not just pray for them pridefully thinking that our prayers will reach down there. They won't unless we beg God to allow it. There you go. So Saint Faustina says there's demons in purgatory. Saint Francis of Rome says there's demons in purgatory. Doctor of the Church, St. Catherine of Siena, says there's demons in purgatory, and at least two other mystics, I can't remember who they are right now, in other books that we've read about purgatory, say the exact same thing. There you go. So please support one of the sponsors of this channel, purgatoryproject.org, an amazing place for you to place your deceased loved ones so that others can pray for them, as well as the Rosary Experience app for iOS or Android. Helps you pray the rosary, beautiful pictures and videos, amazing stuff. I hope this helped you. My friends, have a beautiful day. Support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee, subscribe, and all that other stuff. I'll see you in the next one. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.